Welcome to the Dayspring Audio Library, the teaching ministry of Pastor Daniel Rehoff. Thanks for joining us. We hope this message will have a powerful impact on your life. So sit back and enjoy today's time in the Word.
All right, so Mother's Day 2022. I am going to talk about my mom, and I know what not all of us had. You know, we don't have perfect moms, right? They're all humans, but I think there's stuff we can take away, stuff we can apply, and it can help us to be better moving forward, right? We can't change the past, but we can learn from it, and we can grow, and we can be better for the Lord. So as we get going in our study today, I'm just thankful for my mom. I'm thankful also for my wife, who is a great mom to my three kids, and she's just a blessing to me. I think of one of those statements that rings so true is, you know, your dad takes care of everything. Just, you know, go ask him. And it's like, that's like the classic line. I don't know. Ask mom where it is. I don't know where that thing is. I have no clue, right? That's like the classic dad line. Anyways, good times. So I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I'll call it sappy, but I'm going to talk about my mom. So she's not perfect. I'm not implying that she's perfect, but I'm going to tell you about my mom this morning, okay? And we're going to get some spiritual, scriptural truths, and we'll apply them in our lives today. And may the Lord bless the message. I feel like the last week and 4 hours have been one of those rides. Have you ever been on a ride where it was dark? Maybe a water slide ride, and you're going through and you just don't know where that turn is? Have you ever been on one of those where it's like you think you're going down, and then all of a sudden there's the turn, and it's pitch black in the tube, and you kind of don't know where you're going? That sums up my last week and 4 hours. So bear with me as we go through our message today. So let me first tell you about my parents. So my parents are both in the medical field. My dad's a family practice doctor, right? So he's the guy that you go to when you have a cold or the flu or, you know, you need stitches, stuff like that. And my mom is a nurse. So believe it or not, they had their own practice for a while growing up. When I was sick, I would go to the break room at my parents' family practice thing, right? And it's like, you know, the nurses would be coming in to like heat up their lunch or whatever, and they'd be like, oh, hi, Jay. Just walk over me, and here I am, you know, laying out in the office. So that is my childhood. So you can kind of see the dynamics, right? So you have the doctor and the nurse, right? We can all picture kind of the medical office. You know, you have the doctor who's very matter of fact, right? That's usually the doctor. They lay it to you straight, and that is my dad. He's very cut to the chase. Rip the Band-Aid off, here's what we need to do, and this is what we're going to do, and this is it. And my mom is the nurse, right? So she's the bubbly, okay, let's clean this up, and let's take care of this, and like, oh, so what do you think, Bob? Do you think it'd be good if, like, so she's like stirring the questions, and my dad gives like the firm answer, right? So that's kind of the dynamic, and I would say that they balance each other beautifully. They are, in my mind, awesome, and I love them, and I know they have flaws, but I still love them. Love covers a multitude of sins. So my parents are like this great little dynamic duo. But I can't cover my father. It's Mother's Day, so I've got to hit this. Moms, the greatest gift, or one of the greatest gifts that God gives us at birth is our mom. Then I was thinking about things that I observed my mom do growing up, and I want to just go through, it's a totally random list that God kind of just laid on my heart, and these are just things that I pulled out, and I think that they're great, and stuff that we can apply. So these are things that I praise the Lord that my mother did or does, okay? Number one, I praise the Lord that my mother's outlook is that you're never too old for a hug. You're never too old for a hug. I remember as a kid, I heard this story about this mother who would always sneak into the child's bedroom after they had fallen asleep, you know, when they were a baby, right? We can all picture, you know, parents, we can picture that little baby. Now they're way too big and we can't do this anymore. But you, like, sneak into their room and you know, they were, like, maybe screaming their head off, just a short time ago, but you walk into the room, and there they are in their crib, just out cold. Maybe they're laying, and they're just so cute in that little crib, and you know there's so much room around them because they're so little, and you're just like, ah. Oh. And sometimes, you know, you never wake a sleeping baby, just FYI. But it's like you want to go up to them, and you just want to hold them because they're so perfect. They're not crying. They're just so contented and so happy. Well, anyways, the story that I heard is that there was this mother that would sneak in, and she'd grab her baby, and she'd rock her baby while the baby was sleeping. And as the kid got older, you know, eight, she'd walk in there, and she'd somehow get this eight-year-old kid and get him and rock him in the rocking chair. And as the kid grew in high school, she'd come in there after he had fallen asleep, somehow get him out of bed, and she'd rock him. And then in college, she would come to the university, and she'd get up to the dorm room, and she'd somehow get him out of bed, and she'd rock her college-age kid. No, for some reason, I never put together that was totally a fake story. But it is, I think of the mother's love, right, and the passion that a mom can have for her children. In a greater sense, God always loves us, right? And I think of how, you know, my mom always wants a hug, right? I don't know if I'd call us a hugging family, but, you know, we hug. It's okay. And I think of how God always wants to hug us and wants to love on us. And no matter how we change, no matter how big we get, He still wants that time with us and that relationship, that closeness with us. And I think of, you know, sometimes we think we're so far away from God that God would never want that with us. And God wants that. He wants that. I think of what Christ said in Matthew 23:37. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." Okay, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, do you have a good track record? No, you don't. You don't. "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under, or gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." God's desire to draw us close. It doesn't matter what we've done. Man, I want you back. I want you back. You know, as long as we're alive, God wants us. God wants us. He wants us, and he wants that close relationship with us. I'm also reminded of this, you know, think of Christ and the children, right? The children, Mark 10 and verse 13. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them." Like, you know, you can't bring these kids up here. What are you doing? But when, you know, Jesus is busy, get back. Verse 14. "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Childlike faith, right? He's talking about that. And then listen to this, verse 16. "And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them." You think of Christ and his heart for people. And the love. And it doesn't matter, you know, you're a little kid. No, you can't get away. He's busy, right? And man, he just wanted to take him up and show his love. And I think about how my mom would always want to show her love to me. And that's an awesome picture that we have. Oh, how our God loves us. Oh, how he longs to protect us in his embrace, right? He just wants to hold us close. He wants to reassure us. He wants to comfort us. There was a period, and I don't know how many of you went through this, but there was a period in my teen years, young college years, where I did not want a hug from my mom because that was weird. And, you know, like, okay, mom, I love you. You know, it's like kind of like the side hug. I'd kind of do like this casual thing. And you know what I realized as I got older and more, I guess, more secure in who I was, is that my mom wants a hug. And you know what? I'm going to give her a hug. I'm going to give her a hug. And so one of the things that I've slowly started doing is giving, do you know anyone who gives long, awkward hugs? That's what I've started doing. It's awesome. It's so awesome because it's kind of like this awkward moment, right? So I walk up to my mom and I give her a hug. And I just hold her and I'm like, I love you, mom. And I'll just hold her and then I'll, you know, I back off. It's not too weird. But she knows I love her. And that's awesome. And you know what? I know she loves me. All right? And then what's really fun is when you do it to like a sibling, because then it's even weirder. There was one time I did it to my older brother, who's a good guy, and has just a heart for people, and I just hugged him, and I wouldn't let go, and he just like started patting me. You good, Jay? Just like, yeah, I'm good. I just wanted to make this really awkward on you. So, but we should be showing love. We should be showing love. And I think of my mother, how it was. It didn't matter how big I was, she always wanted that hug. And what a picture of the love of God, how He just wants to pull us close and embrace us. And what greater comfort can we have than a warm embrace of our God, where we can feel that hug and we can think, as Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I'm God. There's something about a hug from someone you love. It's just like, okay, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay, and how God can do that for us. Aren't you glad that as long as we're alive, He wants that relationship. He wants to embrace us. All right, number two. I praise the Lord that my mom was one of my biggest and is one of my biggest cheerleaders. I don't know how many of you, you know, moms are all different, right? Humans are all different. I'm not saying everyone has to be like this, but this was my mom. She was just a cheerleader. She had like that gift of encouragement. You know, I feel like that's a gift that some people have. I will be honest, sometimes I struggle with that gift, okay? Thank God for moms, right? And so growing up in our parent church and in our in a Christian school, we had a basketball program. So my mom and I would travel. I had two older brothers, and so we would travel to basketball games all the time. She would want to support her kids, which I think is awesome. And then as I got older, you know, she would come and support me, and she would be there 9 times out of 10. She was there. All right, and she, you know, she had a flexible enough schedule that she could come and support her boys. And so the interesting thing about my mom, and I'm probably going to reveal way more than I should, and mom, if you're watching this, forgive me. She liked to do play-by-play. She could have been a sports commentator. It was not, you know, Joe Buck. It wasn't anything great. But she liked to, like, you know, like, okay, go, Jason, go get him, go get him. All right, and then she'd play by play the whole time. And you can kind of picture of it. And if, you know, we all were taller, you know, 6'2", 6'3", and so we would play down low. Well, where does all the touching and pushing and shoving and, you know, knocking happen? It happens down low. So what is my mom doing throughout the whole game? She's like, get your hands off him. All right, keep going. Ref, didn't you see that? He totally pushed him. And she's just going back and forth. So the interesting thing is this. There was one story, one game. We were at this gym, and I can totally picture the gym. Gym was smaller. The seats were around the edge of the gym. And my mom is sitting there. I think I was watching with. We were watching one of my brother's games. And she's giving play-by-play, totally bashing this other player who's, like, totally dirty in her mind, right? She's not partial, but he's like, oh, man, I can't. He's, ref, you got, oh, man, how can you not see that? She's just going back and forth the whole game. At halftime, the lady next to her, who's been recording with her camcorder the video and audio, leans over and says, yeah, I just wanted to let you know that's my son who you've been. That's my mom. There you go. The cheerleader. But you know what? I will say this. She always had our back. If we were wrong, oh my goodness, you better believe it. She called us on it, and she was not taking anything. But you know what? As long as we were trying to do what's right, she had our back. She wanted to encourage us. She wanted us to drive us on to do more and to pursue, you know, God's path. You know, I think it's just weird. You know, so growing up in a family of medical people, a doctor and a nurse, right? Like, well, guess what all three kids are doing today? We're all serving in a local church. We're all in ministry. You think, like, a medical family, they'd be like, well, you need to become a doctor because you need to support me in my retirement, and you need to become a lawyer, and you need to be, right? Like, you're going to do all this. No, what did they push us to? They were cheerleaders pushing us to service to God. And they were happy with whatever God would have led us to, right? And that could have been whatever, an architect, whatever it could have been, garbage man, plumber, it could have been anything, right? But God really used them to, and especially her, to be a cheerleader and to push us in the right direction. And she would always fit that word in, right? That word fitly spoken, right? Proverbs talks about that, that word fitly spoken. And she always had a way of throwing in that encouraging word. And I would challenge you as parents, you know, parents in here, people, fellow Christians, be that person who can encourage that, that word fitly spoken. And I think of how she would, you know, even as we were growing up, we would be singing, and afterwards she'd always be like, oh, boys, your blend, just, oh, man, just I loved it so much. And she would genuinely say that. Well, you know what that encouraged us to do? Sing more. Be involved in more. You know, like, oh, man, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to get up there and sing in public. But, man, I tell you, a little bit of encouragement, and all of a sudden you can start to do more and more for the Lord. But who's really our greatest cheerleader? Who's our greatest cheerleader? God is. God is. It's the Lord. As Christians, we are his children. He has our back. He wants the best for us. He longs to see us succeed and do great things for him. You know, I think of the scene in heaven and that is portrayed in Revelation 12. And it says, I heard a loud voice, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now get this scene that is happening. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Who is that? That's Satan. That's Satan accusing, which accused them before our God day and night. You think about what's happening in heaven, and there's Satan is going, oh, did you see that? Did you see that? That thought? Did you see that? Did you see that? God, did you see that? And who is advocating for us? Christ is, right? What does he want for us? Does he want bad things for us? Does God want bad things for us? No, he wants good things. He wants good things. He wants us to make good choices. He stands up for us, defending us that's covered by the blood. Man, and what does he want? He wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Man, is he our cheerleader. Man has got our cheerleader. He wants the best for us. He wants good things for us, right? He's not like, oh man, I hope you have a terrible day, right? That's not what God's doing. He wants us to do great. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to please and bring honor and glory to him. That's why we're here on earth, all right? I praise the Lord that God is our cheerleader. And I thank the Lord for a mom who took on that. Number three. I praise the Lord that my mom gave sacrificially. You know, we as men, we can be sacrificial. But we can also be, and I'm speaking about me mostly, so I'm pointing the fingers all at me, okay? They're all pointing at me. We can also be extremely hard-headed, okay? Especially when dealing with kids, right? We're just kind of like, well, man up and be a tough kid. What's your problem? You know, I'm like, but my finger just got it cut off. Be a man. You know, it's like, where you need the you need that mom to come over, right? And to be that soft tenderness to them. I think of some of the, sometimes I'm in my office back in the back, and there will be a kid that comes in the preschool, and whatever, they're feeling sick, they're injured, something happened. And, you know, to me, it's like, all right, what do we need? Can we get a Band-Aid? All right, are we okay? And there's something about that mom kind of attitude that comes in, and it's like, okay, honey, you're going to be all right. And they just have that tenderness to them. And that is just an awesome thing. I think of that sacrificial, just here I am, I'm at your service, and what can we do to make you feel better and to be at your service? I think of my mother, personal story, and sorry if I'm not trying to gross anyone out, but we all have moments like these where you get sick and it's the middle of the night, 3 a.m., classic story, right? And you're in the bathroom, you know, mouth issues. And you know what? I will say this. My memories of my mom, she'd hear, I don't know how she heard the door. Dads, we never hear anything. That's right? 3 a.m., it's like, you know, we're gone. But 3 a.m., a mom, man, they hear it. They hear it, and it's like, I bet it's him. Are you okay, honey? And they just wake up and they're right on to like it's like the game on, right? And that was my mom, like my classic mom moments. Here I am in the bathroom, I'm not feeling good, I'm losing dinner. And my mom is like, oh honey, classic. Oh honey. I can just hear the tone. Oh honey. And she'd always grab, like classic memories, grab a washcloth, nice warm water, wipe my head, just anything to make me comfortable. And I think of that it's 3 a.m. in the morning. Dads, where are we? Where any normal person would be. I'm in bed sleeping. He can take care of himself, right? But where is mom? Mom is in the bathroom with the child, helping. And dads, we should help too, okay? We should help too. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Don't ask my wife that question, though. But we think about how the sacrificial side. I think of all the times when I would work, you know, the stories of my mom. I think of times where I would work late cutting the grass at the church growing up. And I would work late. Everyone else would eat dinner, which I was totally fine with. I'd get home at 7:30 about, maybe 8 o'clock, because, you know, I needed to get the grass done, and I was having a blast on my riding mower, right? And I'd get home, and she would be right off the couch. She'd go into the kitchen, make some Kraft mac and cheese, which was my favorite. And it was like, you know, she put her schedule, her comfort, to the side, and she would put the need of the child first. And that sacrificial giving, what a testimony, what an example, what an example. And I praise the Lord for that. I think of Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, where it talks about the Lord and the sacrificial side of him, right? Christ left the comfort of heaven, okay? It's heaven, and he leaves it all. For what? For what? Hebrews 4:15 gives us a little picture. For we have not an high priest, okay, that's Jesus Christ, which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He came to earth. He experienced life. Why? Because he was sacrificially giving himself for us. All right? He lived here. It's not like he came and like the next day, yeah, well, I've got a busy schedule. I'll die on the cross now and I'm going to. He lived here amongst us, walked this earth. He gave up it all for all that time. For what? To grow up and to die for us. Okay? Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace is what that next verse says. All right? We have this God who is sacrificial in his giving, and we can approach him. We can approach him. I think of like different times. Look at Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what did he do? Sacrificial. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. What was my mom at that 3 a.m. time with a washcloth, wiping my brow, cleaning up after me, trying to make me as comfortable? She was a servant. Well, who was the ultimate servant? Christ is. God is. Who took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There was a humbling to cleaning up. I think of her as even a nurse. There's a humbling aspect to getting down and cleaning up after someone, right? I didn't make that mess. Why do I need to do that? But yet, here we have this picture of humility, and we see that with Christ, right? Cleaning the disciples' feet. Here he is on the ground. He's doing stuff that, you know, the God of heaven's going to do that? Wow. Wow. What a picture. What a picture. God loves us so much, he gave himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Number four, I praise the Lord that she was always ready to listen. She was always ready to listen. One of the greatest traits my mom had was that, you know, as much of, she's a talker, okay, right? I was illustrating the nurse and the doctor. My dad's very to the point, right? And my mom is like, she fills the void, okay? She's a talker, and she's just that kind of a mom. But as much as she was a talker, she was a listener. And she would listen. She would listen. And what's on your heart? You know, and there would be times, I remember, it's like, you know, my mom and dad probably wanted to go to bed an hour ago. And here's their little chatty Cathy boy just going to town. And they would just listen. Well, why? Because when you listen, you hear what's on a child's heart. You hear what's on a teen's heart. Whether it's, hey, mom, I kind of like this girl. Which girl? right? Or man, some kid said this to me. Oh, what did they say? Okay, well, and then working it through and helping you process, okay, how to deal with these things. Well, that was an awesome trait of my mom, was that she was always there to listen. You know, this is what I'm struggling with. Okay, well, let's talk about it. Here we go. And it was just always available, always available. Isn't it great that we have a God who listens? Isn't it great that we have a God who listens to us? He's always there. He's always there, right? He doesn't sleep. It's not like, you know, I'll need something, and it's like, oh, crud, I can't call him. It's after 9. Doggone. You know, like, and I'll be, you know, like, it's after hours. I can't call him. God is available all the time. He's available all the time. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. He cares for me. No matter what time it is, bring your burdens to him. Bring your burdens to him. Are you stressed about something? You're waking up in the middle of the night? Bring your burden to him. Right? If I wake up my wife, man, she's going to be upset with me. But I know God's awake. Right? God's there. Talk to him. Talk to him. Pray to him. God doesn't have business hours. He longs to hear from us. Talk to him. Talk to him. As his children, we can come to him anytime, anytime. All right, last one. I praise the Lord that she brought the fun factor and that she's an outside-of-the-box mom. My mom is, she said she takes after her mom, but I never met her mom because she passed away of MS before I was born. But supposedly she was quite the person. And so my mom is very eccentric in some ways. So I grew up listening to a lot of weird stuff that many of you would probably laugh at, like German, like a cappella music, Austrian mezzo-soprano Sophie von Otter. You know, so it's like foreign language, like, okay, mom, do we really need to listen to this in the car? Can we turn on something else? And it was just all these like random, weird, like very eclectic, classical, whatever stuff, which, man, it cultured me. The most recent thing that my mom, and it's some of it's my aunt too, they kind of work together, they're both wired that way. What's scary is they're both on a trip with my dad, and there's three sisters and a brother, and they're all on a trip together right now in Ireland. So I'm praying for my dad as we speak. Because I'm like, Dad, are you sure you want to go on this trip? This could be really special. Because you just, my mom and my aunt are a problem. So the latest cool thing that they told me about that I really need to supposedly listen to is that they have, how many of you know Fiddler on the Roof? Fiddler on the Roof? Well, they have an audio recording. I think it's even on Spotify if you guys really want to get cultured. And this is just going to help you visualize my mom. They have a version of Fiddler on the Roof in Yiddish. So that's the cultural diversity that I'm getting here in my mom, okay? So a bit eccentric, a little bit out there, but man, I love her. I love her. And sometimes I just like give her the hardest time. I give her the hardest time. But she loves to explore, travel. You know, she loves missions. My parents go on medical missions, and that she uses her passion and she just wants to explore and adventure. It's an awesome thing. So you can't fit my mom's personality in this like this box. You know, she just blows the box open. That's kind of my mom. But then I think about our God. You can't fit God in a box. You can't fit him in there. I heard a story about a famous pastor who was speaking at a huge convention. And this pastor had 5 kids, 5 sons. And all 5 of the sons had gone on to become pastors. So there were this group of, I don't know, if it was 5 or 10 pastors that came up to this pastor after he had finished speaking. And they're like, they had asked that pastor, they're like, hey, we're looking for, we all have young kids, we're looking for parenting advice. How do we get our kids to turn out? The pastor responds, you know what I did with my kids? I told them that serving God was the greatest adventure that you could ever go on. that you just never knew what you were going to get, and it was just the ride of your life, all right? And so with what a truth that is. What a truth that is. You don't know. God's not, you know, it's not like the, well, here's the career path, and in 5 years you're going to do this, and then 5 years you're going to do, no. God breaks the mold, like, every time. I don't know if you've looked around, but we're all different, right? He breaks the mold, okay? And it's just, okay, what you're, I'm going to work in your life this way, and serving him, doing what he has for you, is a way that we can really see how God just works and how he brings that, we'll call it fun factor, because you just don't know what you're going to get. You just go on the ride, and it's, okay, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll take you. I'll take whatever path you want. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou, God, wilt show me the path of life. I don't know what God has for me down the road, right? The truth is none of us know what tomorrow really truly holds. But you know what? I know if I seek him, he'll show me. He'll show me. He'll take me one step at a time, and he'll take care of me. He'll take care of me. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We have an amazing God, and you know what God always does? He keeps us guessing. He's really good at it. I don't know what's coming. I wasn't planning on speaking this Sunday. I wasn't planning on speaking last Sunday, all right? It's one of those water slides, right? It's just like, I don't know, the turn is going to come and it's going to go right there. But I'm going to hold on and I'm just going to trust that God's got me. And you know what? For all of us, that is the best path we can take. It's the best one. It's the best one. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She was in concentration camps, labor camps during World War II. Dutch, but just went through terrible things during World War II, persecuted and lost her sister, and just brutal. But you know what she said? She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God, a God that loves us, the known God. Lean in on your relationship with the Lord and see how he works to expand your horizons, right? We think we're dreaming high. And I remember when I was working with the youth, I challenged a few teens, dream high, push yourself, and follow what God has. And you know what we as humans do? We say, okay, this is normal. I'm going to dream high. I'm going to push for something that is above average. And we go right there. And God's going, no, 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 no. And it's way past what we ever could imagine. It's way past what we ever could imagine. Lean in on God. Lean in on God and watch what he does. He brings the fun factor. Fun. I put it with quotes. Fun factor. You just never know what you're going to get. It's definitely, God is an outside of the box. He's not a standard one size fits all. He is outside of the box. What an awesome thing. I don't want a God that fits in a box. I don't want a God that fits inside a box. That's terrible. I'm glad my God is bigger than anything I could imagine or come up with. All right, so here's an application. Mothers, you have a great opportunity to mold and impact the next generation. I think of how my mom has impacted me, and man, you guys have a job, you have an awesome responsibility and a privilege to do that. When I think of the things that I admire about my mom, you know what they are? What did we go through that whole list? You know what they're a reflection of? They're a reflection of God at work in her. Aren't they? They are. And as I was thinking about things that I loved about my mom that impacted me, sacrificial, whatever it may be, no edge to her end of her love. She always wants a hug. She, you know, that whole list, those are all reflections of God. Those are all reflections of God. And God at work in her. You know what? I can think of plenty of stories where my mom fell short, okay? And I'm not going to share those with you because she'd kill me. But you know what? Those are a reflection of her fallen state, right? We're all fallen human beings, right? In need of a Savior. But you know, everything that I love about her and cherish about her are really reflections of God. Where do we get creativity? Where do we get, you know, being outside of the box, that whole weird genres of music? Where does that come from? Creativity flows from who? Who's the ultimate creator? God, right? You think about that. We get to be a reflection. Moms, especially, you get to be a reflection of the Lord, all right? So I'm going to open this up to everyone. Ready? The challenge is to everyone, not just moms today. Mothers, parents, Christians, anyone, okay? May we be a reflection of the Lord to those around us, especially to those underneath us, that God has put underneath us, under our care, to take care of. May we be a reflection to them. We are molding the next generation. We're molding the next generation. May they see Jesus in us. May they see Jesus in each and every one of you. I think of a song that was by Ron and Shelley Hamilton, so Patch the Pirate. And the song is, I saw Jesus in you. And I'm just going to read it along. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. Here we go. When I enter heaven's glory and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy, with trembling lips, these words I'll say: I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes, I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. When I stand before my Father to receive my life's reward, and my soul is bathed in God's eternal day, when this race on earth is run and God sees the works I've done, more than anything I long to hear my Father say, I saw Jesus in you. Is that a challenge for all of us? What are we reflecting as parents, mothers, fellow Christians? I don't have any kids. Great. You can impact someone. There's someone that God put in your life that you can impact, that you can be a parent to, okay? That you can be an encouragement to, all right? Well, my parents were terrible. Okay, great. You be the reflection that they should have been of God and of his love for us, all right? Do you see that? Do you see that application that we have? What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. God's plan for mothers, for parents, for all of us, is to be a reflection of him, his love for us. For us. I saw Jesus in you. Keep seeking to grow in the Lord. All right? Parents, maybe you're exhausted, maybe you're fried. You know, I think of sometimes my wife, you know, she was up at 3 a.m. with that kid that was sick, and she's fried. You know what we need as parents? We need more God. We need to be with God and our relationship, that closeness, that relationship, and we need to be leaning in on his strength, his power in our life. When we do that, guess what? We become better parents. We really do, all right? When we start to rely on ourselves, that's where the bad parenting comes, okay? Because we're relying on ourselves and the world standards. No, don't do that. Rely on God and be a reflection of him. And man, you know what? I think of that verse, what is it? They shall rise up and call her blessed. Because what is she? She's a reflection of God. What do I love about my mom? All the things where she reflected God to me. And I saw Jesus in her, in the way she was behaving. Okay? May we be that. May we be that. How do we do it? We grow in our walk. We grow in our walk by reading God's word daily. Get into the word of God. Start reading. Apply it in your life. Pray to the Lord. Talk to him, right? Talk to him. His ears are open to our cry. Talk to him. Bring him your concerns. 3 a.m. in the morning, you got some job deadline, you're stressed out. Bring it to God. I'm stressed out about my kids. I'm stressed out about this relationship. I'm stressed out about this scenario. I can't figure it out. Bring it to God. Bring it to God. Take it to him. Get under good teaching. We are so blessed to be under good teaching. And it's not me. Thank God for Pastor Dan, okay? His faithfulness, okay? It's not easy to come up here every Sunday and have a message. Just FYI. I struggle, like, with the random ones, okay? It's like, man, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. This is going to be crazy. You know what? Faithfully doing it year after year, Sunday after Sunday, We are blessed. We are blessed. Get under good teaching. We have it. We have it here, and praise the Lord, we have it. When the doors are open, be here. We all need it. We all, myself included, we all need it. And then the last one, surround yourself with godly influences. If your influences are pulling you away from God and pulling you away from being a reflection of God to others, you are hanging out with the wrong people. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your parenting. You're hurting your relationships. Hang out with people that are going to pull you toward the Lord, okay? Hang out with people that are going to pull you toward the Lord. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? If your friends aren't pulling you the right direction, you're going to be a mess. You're going to be a mess. Have good friendships. Show yourself friendly. Seek out others and try to be a good friend and be a friend to those that are going to help pull, and then you help pull them the right direction. Oh, man. May God bless the study of his word. I hope that impacts all of you, all right? Be a reflection of God. Be a reflection of God. How can I work in the 3 a.m., right? There's a scenario. How can I be that reflection of God? All right, last thing before we close. If you died today, where would you go? Where would you go? I hope you could say heaven. I hope you can say heaven. I had a lady come to the door this week on Friday afternoon. She showed up at the door. She rang the doorbell, and she was asking for help. And I said, hey, let me share the greatest news in all the world. And I was like, we are all sinners. We are all sinners, right? We've all fallen short. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the perfection that is required to get to heaven. But the truth is God wants us all. He wants us all in heaven. So what did he do? He made a way. Because we've fallen short, he made a way. The wages of sin is death, but, aren't you glad there's a but? But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we get to heaven? We're imperfect, we can't get there. All right, not one sin can enter heaven or else it's not perfect. We have to get rid of that sin, and we can't do it on our own. The only way we can pay for our sin is to spend eternity in hell. All right, and that's not the path any of us, I would think, want to go, okay? We want to go to heaven. Well, what did God do? He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth, be born of a Virgin Mary, live a perfect life, grow up, die on a cross, be buried 3 days later, rose again. When he died on the cross, it was for a reason. He paid for the sins of all mankind. And John 3:16 says this. It says, for God so loved the world, so God loves the world, doesn't matter who you are, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, okay, that's anyone, believes. What's required to get to heaven? Belief. Not church attendance, not giving an offering, not, you know, serving, not being a good neighbor, not baptism. None of those things are required. What does God say? This is literally the words of Christ, okay, recorded in his word. Whosoever believeth, believes. It's our putting our faith, our trust in the only Son of God who loved us so much that he came to earth and died on the cross for us. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. You'll go to heaven when you die. I encourage each and every one of you, if you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, to do it today. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You have no idea. You have no idea. Put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you know what? Whatever happens, I know I'm going to heaven. That's the best peace, comfort that you could ever have, is knowing that your eternal destination is secure based not what on what I do, because you know what? I might mess up tomorrow. I might mess up later on today, okay? For all I know, I messed up in the last 40 minutes, whatever it was, okay? You know what? It's based on Christ. It's 100% secure. It's based on what he did, the finished work of the cross. Put your trust in him. You have everlasting life. One more verse, Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works. It's not you. It's what Christ did. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could work for it, Well, you know, I gave $1 million check to this church. Great. When you get to heaven, you could be like, hey, guys, check me out. I'm in heaven because I'm a great guy. Well, guess what? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You won't. None of us will be in heaven saying, wow, I was really great. We're all going to get to heaven and say, wow, God, you are amazing. Thank you so much for dying on the cross and paying for my sins. I encourage you, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it today. Do it now. Do it now. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, we thank you for moms. Lord, we thank you for their hearts, their tenderness, their passion, their servants' hearts, Lord, just how they serve continually. Lord, we thank you for them. You are so good. Lord, they are a reflection of your love for us. Lord, help us to reflect your love to everyone. Lord, help us to be a light in this dark world that needs you so badly. We need more of you. We need more of you in our parenting, in our world, just in our leadership. Lord, we just need more of you. Lord, help us to be a reflection of you. Lord, I pray that you'd be with anyone who has not put their trust in you as Savior. Lord, that you would work on their hearts today. Lord, that today would be the day that they put their trust in you. You did it all. You did the hard work. All we have to do is put our trust in you, that you died on the cross. You paid for our mistakes, our sins. And if we put our trust in you, we have everlasting life. We'll be in heaven, not because we're good, but because we're forgiven. Because we put our trust in you. You did it all. It is finished. Lord, thank you so much for how you take care of us. Lord, thank you so much for how you provide. Give us a great rest of our day. Lord, would you keep us all safe? And Lord, we pray for our pastor that you'd continue to heal up his voice, his sickness. Lord, be with those that are sick and hurting today. Comfort them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092 or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.